Welcome to What's Your Sign? I'm Julia Loken.
I'm Stevie Goldstein.
And I'm the little adult of this podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
What's the difference between a little adult and a big adult?
Well, I've never really felt like an adult. It's been tough for me. And I'm not like, you know, learning adulting, balancing my checkbook stuff, but like, I've just had, and I think maybe it's like this Libra into Scorpio season time.
Mm-hmm.
Of like yesterday, I've been having like some personal stuff happening, and then I have been having all these dreams about swimming, and I haven't had time to work out, but I also haven't really been motivated. And yesterday I was like, I'm gonna force myself to go, you know? And of course, like, pools are closed on Mondays. Like, I forgot because I haven't been in a while. And, you know, you get there and you're like disappointed, but like, you know, there's no one to take it out on. So you do have to like, you have to like, you know, grow up in a way. And I did end up going to a pool and, you know, just like got all of those like lessons again, you know, like walking in and going like, you know, whatever they say, like they might say you can't swim today, like you're just be nice to the person, like just don't, you know, don't have a fit, don't cry, you know.
Yeah.
And then they let me in, and then, you know, you have to share a lane because there were not a lot of lanes, and you know, you have to do all those adult things like ask if I can join you guys, and then like try to not be in the way because, you know, everyone has a different like pace that they want to go. And you know, like it's tough when I'm with like Michael Phelps and also like a 70-year-old man, you know, and it's like I'm just gonna like try to stay out of the way as much as possible because I'm just grateful that I got to get in, you know. So I mean,
in loving ways, that sounds like those are child things in a way, like you're like,
for sure,
it's like you're bringing forward the conscientiousness. You have to like, you're like, no, you don't like, you know, take your pants down and like scream or do this thing. It's like, yeah, we're just like truly, I mean, our inner children are just the men in black robots like running this show, and like we're thrust into these older vessels but still feeling those still innate things of frustration and baby things and all that.
For sure. It was very like little, like I didn't feel like I had a lot of confidence or personality in any of these like moments, but also having to like do the adult thing and be like, mm-hmm, like not feeling yourself and not being able to go like in and be like, I know there's a lane waiting for me at this pool. I'm not like, please, mm-hmm, sir, can I swim at your pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was nice. And then it was also interesting because like my husband swims with me sometimes, but for me, I feel like it's like all I ever want to do or talk about. And then, you know, he comes with me when he can to work out, or like we do diving together. And last night he like mentioned it too. Like he was like, I miss being in the water. I'm like, oh, aww, me too. It's not just me. Yeah.
Getting back into water.
You're making him a little water baby.
He is a little water, you know.
That's true. He does have
a lot of like Pisces stuff. So I feel like it feeds him too.
I feel like adult is a thing, and I don't know if this is just my first thought obviously goes to like, this feels like a millennial thing of, you know, forgive me for trashing boomers again, but being like, everyone keeps telling us that we're not real adults because we haven't met a lot of these milestones. And so it feels like adult is a thing that you have to kind of self decide when you are an adult. When do you feel like an adult and when do you not? But also we were encouraged to have these like very extended adolescent times too by these same people accusing us of not being adults, you know, whatever, that's for another episode perhaps. But I do
Pluto
think that,
the Pluto generational episode,
our Pluto square, the eternal struggle. But I do think that there is something like, not enough people realize that you are like always child and always adult, and I find that hard, in not hard, but like when you're dealing with other people and going like, oh, you think adult you is talking right now, but it's baby you, and you have no idea that baby you is still very much, I like that, like the Men in Black,
kids
in a trench coat, whatever it is kind of thing.
I felt very kids in a trench coat yesterday. I told you guys about that breathwork class I took, I think, with the Imagine and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Playing. Like Dave Matthews Band remixes, playing while you're doing breathwork. Hilarious.
But one of the things that I remembered, like, from just, you know, when you're meditating, like, was, like, a lot of colors that I used to wear as a baby and, like, as a kid that I see in pictures. And, like, I've been trying to lean into some of that stuff more as, like, more of the, even though it's, like, not, you know, necessarily, like, a representation of the inner child. It's, like, oh, maybe that makes you feel more playful or younger or whatever. So I have been, and clothes is another place where I always feel like I tell myself, like, you can't wear that. You look like a baby, or like, you can't, like, you know, you look like you're three kids in a trench coat right now. Like, don't wear that business suit. So it is interesting.
Like, someone guessed I was 22 recently and I was offended. I was more like, I don't want to look 22 like that. That's like, like, no offense to the 22-year-olds, but as someone that's not that age, it's like, no. I hope I'm dressing better than a 22-year-old. And I hope I have, I don't know, that confidence essence that sadly does not exist in 22-year-olds. I mean, I think there's a few special ones that can break through and good to you. You're the minority of
There's confidence, but it's a different kind of confidence.
It's like ignorance, usually. Yes, it's like everyone wants me in here. And it's like you might be an acquired taste and that's okay. You shouldn't, we all are meant for different spaces and whatnot, but coming back from Japan, I think because everyone dressed so adult and maybe it was being on the Pluto line as well.
Yeah.
Me and Pablo definitely were like, we need to dress better. We like both went, we're ready to dress better. We're ready to dress like we're in our mid 30s. We're ready to even just trying different cuts of like, he's not wearing these like looser, almost dare I say doo-wop pants that are looking really good. And I think especially because I don't know, maybe it is our documentation of ourselves, and I think rebranding has come up so much in this like Saturn Pisces, like we've collected so much information and time and styles and energy, and sometimes it does take, in a very Scorpio Marsy Pluto way of like, nope, I'm cutting that off now, I'm doing my hair like this now, I'm gonna wear this style, I want to choose this just this whole like new wave. And I think Scorpio can like make those really hard cut lines of like when they want to like switch a vibe over to, especially since it's water still and like things that are almost a little bit indescribable, but you can still make hard and fast decisions about the indescribable things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
I like Scorpio season as a rebrand. Not necessarily like in a commercial way, but in a that feels appropriate for what's coming up.
Well, maybe because it's also exacting. Like, I feel like this part of the zodiac, it's going more together, and then it's like precise. Scorpio and Sag, it's like very pointed, and then Capricorn, I feel like it is, but it starts to broaden out to like how people see it kind of thing, and then Aquarius broadens it back out, and Pisces out to like as far as you can go.
I think the nostalgic energy of fall, I feel like it's when people start listening to all the indie bands they were listening to in high school, and there is something about the things you want to keep from the past, and then also new things you want to introduce to your future. That's like style, right? It is bringing back things that have always existed, but then also remembering to integrate some of the new stuff that's happening as well.
Well, and obviously we're speaking from a very Western Hemisphere centered.
Yes, of course. Sorry, Australia.
So, yes. But that, what that made me think of is like, this is the time when it's starting to get colder and you're pulling out your like staple kind of coat pieces,
the things, or things like keep.
That. Yes. Those things that you do kind of center things around, or like, you don't have, not every, some people do, but most people have like a coat, a hat and scarf kind of thing or whatever, that like, to me is the central sort of organizing principle, and going like, is this still the vibe, or is this like a new coat year? And now how does that,
the central
like,
piece,
yes, does this coat, I feel like I'm due for a new coat. I have a coat that's been my like signature coat for a while, and I'm like, ooh, I just don't,
which coat,
It's just like my like camel coat.
Okay, I knew. I was like, again, it's the camel trench.
It's the camel trench, and it's a classic thing that I was like, oh, this is gonna look good forever. And I'm like, ooh, actually, this is like kind of not. It's looking a little out of place. Maybe it's just that it needs like maybe I've had it longer than I think. I feel like this is a very, I have Scorpio in the second house, and I think that sometimes I feel like I've talked about this here before, where I will go like, oh, I just got this, and then I go like, no, babe, you got this 8 years ago. Like, yeah. Just is in your mind. Just, it's just because you don't wear it every day. Like, well, yeah.
Your code is pummeling towards a Jupiter return, and it might need a new, like, freshening.
Yeah, that's okay. I think
it's like, for me, and this is why I have too much stuff, and I also have Cancer Moon, so maybe don't listen to me, but like, I feel like it's like something like that you just want to keep, and then your style updates, so sometimes it doesn't really necessarily reflect what you're wearing all the time anymore, but it comes back into play.
Yes. The scariest part of this all.
Yeah. Weddings, at like, there's weirder events that you get invited to where you end up with this kind of more classic dress or an older thing that you wouldn't have necessarily been wearing this year or whatever, a funeral, like something like that, where it's like, oh yeah, I only have like one long black dress, and it's like this weekend or whatever, so you just do it, and it works really well. And it also ends up being, I think, more of a casual, like, everyday work jacket or something like that, where it's like, I don't know, like, I have a old black pea coat. And it's like, I'm never going to get rid of it, but I do just keep it in my car. And then it's like, sometimes when you need a coat, it's like, no one's going to be like, what the fuck is that weird coat? But it's also not like, I'm not like, ooh, where's my pea coat? Like, every day, either, you know?
No, exactly. Where I'm like, oh, this once was the staple, and now this is going to be
a backup, kind of.
A one that I don't get rid of because it's beautiful and I love it, and I will never get rid of it. But also, I don't think it's my coat anymore, you know?
Damn, I haven't heard the word peacoat in so long. I was like, it is fall again.
Yes.
Peacoats are back. Well, that's me with the t-shirt collection, as you guys know, boxes of vintage soft butter t-shirts that I can't. I mean, now I'm just in this roto. Now I'll take like six out, put them in the closet, pack away the rest, because they're just, I'm sorry, I'm keeping them. I've had too many t-shirt regrets where I'm getting rid. These are heirloom pieces now to me. These aren't just like, oh, part of my wardrobe. These are like, I need to vacuum these up, keep them for a rainy day. Like, band Pixies tour. Like, come on. Like, I'm not. They're staying. My future children will be like, thanks, and hope they appreciate it.
I think t-shirts are an easy enough one to like store and hang on to as someone who has a husband with literally a closets full of t-shirts. I do think that they are one of the easier ones to hang on to, fold up. You can get a lot of them in a bin. So,
but talk about the adult's journey though. T-shirts are one that feel like,
yeah,
babe, get rid of these. I think also, especially, sorry, going gendered for a moment, like, now Pablo has been doing the sport coat over the t-shirt. It's harder to adultify it, I feel like, for the femme fashion with the t-shirt. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should be pairing this with a tulle skirt or something.
Someone
told me
this recently, actually. Someone whose fashion I really do like told me that, because I said we were at actually Five Below.
Oh my God.
And you know how they have so many t-shirts, and I like, I don't really wear them that much. So I don't really like, I was like, I like this one and I like this one, but I'm like, she's like, they're $5. I'm like, but I don't have anything to wear them with. Like, I can't. She told me that the way to style it, she saw it on something online too, was find your funkiest, weirdest pant. And that's what you're supposed to wear like a t-shirt with to make it look cool.
Okay.
So a color, a pattern, anything, even like a skirt that's like, you know, I'm thinking like a pleated, like a bright color or something that like really stands out. And then the t-shirt looks this kind of like vintagey, cool top.
Okay. No, this checks my, now I'm also starting to catalog looks in my iPhone notes. I think I've showed you guys this, where you can take the picture and like keep the catalog. And the best looks were the Betty Boop shirts with a green plaid pant. So this tracks. Loud bottom, air quotes, mm-hmm. regular tea, but of course it's your vintage special ones. Okay. Mm-hmm. You all learned something here.
Yeah.
That's Scorpio. Yay. His good fashion history.
Yeah. I was like, happy rebranding.
Yeah. Well, take things out, wear it and see if it even feels like you. Yes. I think the feeling like you is an understated feature that has to also
mm-hmm.
click.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about it already, but let's get into the transits of this Scorpio season. Can't believe it's already here.
Yeah. What's maybe on a more macro, what do you guys thoughts, vibes, feeling? I mean, we are still in the eclipse time. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. starting off strong, but I'm kind of surprised how like many like trines and oppositions conjunct. We don't get many squares, a few here and there, mm-hmm. or major squares this season. So it feels something feels really like, I don't know. I think this could be really like nice, reconnected, watery, artsy. Like, I don't know. There's mm-hmm. something that I'm like digging thus far on like a macro look out. I'm curious how Scorpio season just grabs you from a vibe check.
Based on Libra season alone, I welcome.
mm-hmm. Yes, it's like you mm-hmm. should, you're I've, probably fine.
I've had a tough Libra season, so I'm ready to, and I just went to like Halloween Horror Nights. I feel like I'm ready to dig yeah. into the
you're
Scorpio
in the scary
season.
Time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. The craving for spooky season hit me earlier than usual this year. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm ready for
Friday the 13th greatly helped. Great branding for October mm-hmm. this month. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. J'adore.
Yeah.
No, the Halloween energy seems strong early, which is hot.
Yeah. Or I'm like, I want the shadowier stuff. Cause that's, I mean, my, mm-hmm. like my first thing that I wrote down, and this is, you know, not, I feel like, why don't I not judge it and just say what I wrote down? I just wrote down, what are you scared of? And I mm-hmm. think that that's that, like, I mean, I think that that's always a Scorpio kind of theme. And obviously it's Halloween time. And I don't mean it like that. I just mean the, like, really literally asking yourself in any situation. And I think that that fits with these trines and oppositions of, and something that I've been trying to do in eclipse season and thinking about this stuff coming up is just going, like, asking yourself in the situation if there's resistance somewhere or whatever's coming up for you, like, what is it that you're actually scared of? And if you can kind of peel back those layers as deep as possible to go, like, oh, I'm scared this person won't like me. I'm scared that yeah. I'm scared that I'm going to die. I'm scared that I'm going to whatever. I'm scared, you know, however it goes, but kind of trying to get down to that most essential kind of thing that's coming up for you. And getting away from the situations themselves, and kind of that feels mm-hmm. very Scorpio of the, like, uncovering and digging into the root of the matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that that fits with all of these oppositions and trines and things of it being like, well, most kind of like flowing situations come when you can be aware of what it is that you, like, actually want or actually are motivated by, speaking of this kind of adulting sort of conversation too, or when you are able to say to someone in an oppositional way, like, I don't want to tell you this thing because I'm scared of X, Y, and Z,
yeah.
or this, I didn't tell you this because blah, 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 or you understand.
Yeah, which usually comes back to trying to protect yourself from
yes.
other people's things out of your control sometimes, mm-hmm. or also that it might not be as bad as
yeah.
our the imagination is a cruel place sometimes.
100%. And I think I like, she has not come up on this podcast a while, but I really like this Brené Brown phrase where
just,
you go,
I was missing this, her.
The story I'm telling myself is blah, 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 blah. And it's like that's not saying what's actually happening. That's mm-hmm. saying, here's what's going on in my mind. Can you help me? Here's what that's bringing up for me. Please, as the other person involved in this scenario, let me know, is this actually what's going on, or where
yes.
are you?
Can you confirm my reality?
Yeah. Or
of
can
this
you,
situation?
Can you tell me that there isn't actually something to be afraid of? And now we've uncovered this new kind of shadow place that no longer has to be a corner of mm-hmm. our house that we're too scared to go into.
Oh my God.
You know what's crazy yesterday I realized Julia, you, Scott, and I think that might be it, are the only people in my life that I go to advice that don't have fixed sun signs. And so, like, I feel like every time I'm like, oh, yesterday I was really trying. I was like, oh, I'll ask. Oh, no, that's another Scorpio. How about, oh, it's another Scorpio. Oh, a Taurus. Like, it was still, yeah. Again, I was like, I need, like, a mutable person. I need, like, a mutable therapist. But I feel like
that should be the rank, the categorizing when you search for a therapist,
right?
By mode, by at least modality. We don't have to fully out there our sun sign, but
sure.
I feel like because that is in my like personal mind right now, it's kind of like I do feel like Scorpio season sees solution, and I feel like there are other like. I forget who said rebranding earlier, but it's like this exacting, like, okay, like we're narrowing it down to this. This is like what I want to do. This is who I want to see. This is who I want to speak to. And so like, I'm going to do it this way. And it's just, it's like, you get to, again, like I said earlier, you get to broaden it out again if you want. It's not like, you know, forever, but it's helpful to have someone say like, all right, we'll take these two things out. Like, let's pick from these three. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, that's easy. I don't want to do that, you know.
Totally.
Well,
October 23rd is when it all begins. I know.
We start on October 23rd. Sun moves into Scorpio at 9:21 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's what all of our times will be that I list here. So adjust for your time zone if necessary. I feel like this first week is like mercifully few transits just leading up to the eclipse.
the in-between eclipses has been, and I've heard other astrologers describe it as like relatively slow and and kind of sleepy, but I think it's because the eclipses aren't enough for us. The sky has had some mercy on us, and it's just I don't know, the eclipse on the 14th, and we're referencing the new moon eclipse that happened in Libra. It's been eclipsing. I'll confirm that. So yeah, nothing too wild. Just like that, we have a nice trine from Saturn and Pisces the next day to the sun, which I feel like we haven't had like positive water reinforcement in some time.
And we'll also get, it will be just brief, but I like this again as just kind of an internal time and a watery spooky time, is that we'll also get a moon trine to Saturn in Scorpio at the same time, around the same time, for a few hours. Again, like, it's gonna not be I'm looking at this and I'm like, wait, is that wrong? The moon's in Aquarius, but we're gonna get what else are we getting then? Sorry.
I mean, I think there's like a wide Pluto square, like, since Pluto's kind of at the end of Capricorn.
I'm pulling this up. What am I talking about? Oh, we're getting the moon's in Pisces. That's what it is.
On the 24th.
Yes. Yes, we're going to get a Pisces moon, and the moon will join Saturn at that same time. And I feel like that's what I was like, not Scorpio. Okay. Thank goodness. I was like, what am
I?
Cuckoo? Okay. Nope.
I mean, yes, but not in that way.
Yeah, not in that way.
No, there's just a lot of signs, symbols, and squiggles in this damn thing. And then, I think that this is before we lead up to that eclipse. It feels back to that very, like, does anyone have a crush on me? If you were holding it together, try not to maybe reveal or pop off or whatever. I could see this. I don't know. It seems like a risky zone. So if you're still in the should I or shouldn't I, like, it just might go deeper than you think. So if you're ready to dive in and have, you know, that like, hey, actually I have feelings for you or this thing, like, I think it could be very, I don't see that like being a passing combo. It seems like it would really go balls to the wall.
I mean, we won't get too much into the eclipse, because we will talk about that on our Patreon episode. So if you are interested in hearing more about what's going to happen during this lunar eclipse in Taurus, closing out the series, join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. But I mean, yeah, I think
that one's happening on the 28th.
Yeah. On the 28th. That would, So this first week, we really are just like, you know, hey, it's Scorpio season and the eclipse.
We do have a Mars opposition to Jupiter on the 28th. Yes, on the... So a lot mm-hmm. of, I mean, all the stuff we have in Taurus, which is Jupiter and Uranus, we're going to get those oppositions to the Scorpio energy. I'm a big, I've said it before, I'll say it again, oppositions are as far away as planets can be. So I think of them as kind of operating without that influence of that other planet. I know not everyone thinks of oppositions maybe exactly in this way, but I think of Mars doing its own thing without Jupiter telling it what to do. So I think that they're, you know, Mars, I think of risk, and Jupiter, I think of reward. So maybe there are some new areas of where we take risks to get new rewards that could also be up for experimenting, especially since it's in the same eclipse time zone. I don't know. It feels all very like pointed in together. If there's a new way to approach, that might be really encouraged on the eclipse day too.
I think oppositions to me are kind of this, it kind of muddies the water a little bit for both signs, because I think that each one, I think since they are in conversation and they are at a degree of the exact same on an axis together, like they're trying maybe to accomplish the same goal in two different ways. And it's this kind of thing where, you know, if you try to be direct and try to be indirect at the same time, like all you do is communicate poorly. It doesn't do one or the other. It doesn't automatically accomplish both. So it kind of puts you in a position of either making a choice or kind of having some confusion happen. So I do think it is this kind of thing where I don't think, like, you know, necessarily one planet's going to not be of influence. I think you're going to feel both. You might make the choice to choose Mars or choose Jupiter, and that might, you know, go differently depending on obviously the house, the situation, the person. But I think both are present. It might be internally. Totally. One of them might be internal, one of them, you know, external.
Yeah. Yeah. You're never void of the planets. I think of just squares being like, pick me or this one. And I think these do say, no, we need to work together. So I think, I don't know, it's like encouraging that Mars action to be more Scorpionic, and that which might be more cutting back. But then Jupiter wants, especially in Taurus, to give a lot. So I think it's that complicated. Maybe you have to lean into the both things. Maybe if you're trying to win over a client, there is a generosity, but then also being like, that generosity is the meeting to tell them you have to cut back on this thing. You know, like I think it's
finding a way, even if it's like, okay, like being nice to somebody in a work meeting, following up with the stricter things in email, like, you know, it's like trying to find a way to do both. But I think where we get caught up is trying to do both at once, which isn't something that I think works ever. Like to be like, I'm Mars and Jupiter. It's like, no one wants you. No one wants like that. Whatever. No one knows what you're doing.
Totally. Yeah. No, I like that, in thinking of how this like motion goes from Mars opposing Jupiter, then Mercury opposing Jupiter. And then the next day on the 29th, we get Mercury and Mars together. I like that idea of it being like, don't, a very Scorpio idea of kind of like not showing all of your cards at once, of like letting them kind of like letting the gameplay happen, not rushing it, and going like, okay, you might see the move at the beginning and know what the thing is, but it's not fun to just like checkmate the first move. Like, that's not, we want to see this game go back and forth a little bit more. And I think that kind of delivering that clear, again, like you said, I think in like the work example of like, I don't know, let someone kind of negotiate back with you a little bit, or bring their thing and then go like, you know what your number is, and be ready to give that number at the end. But like, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe this will be the SAG. What do we call it? Contracts things. We recorded this on the 17th, so if this happened.
Yeah.
And we really predicted it. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Then give us credit.
That's a good reminder too of this lead up of the opposition and then conjunction in Mars. I think if you are going to wait to, and it's after the eclipse too, so it feels like if you can do it, give some sort of like update or news on the 29th, it might be a little.
Here's how I'm feeling at the beginning of this, because it does feel very, you know, we're going from like sun, moon. Moon's going to move through all of that Taurus stuff too. And it's going to like join up with Jupiter. I think we're going to be feeling big feelings, feeling like on that, you know, side. And then, I'm sorry. So
Mars and Mercury, I think, often because Mars is a malefic and Mercury is kind of the I don't know what to
say.
I was gonna call a switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse. So yes.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of astrologers would see that and see like Mercury is colored with the malefic. To me, I actually think that the physical body part of Mars and the cognition part of Mercury work really, really well together. It's like finding those spaces where to do that in, if that makes sense. So I do think, you know, I know the three of us really love to do this. I know I recommend it all the time too, but like going on a walk for your meeting or like doing something that's like a little bit more in the physical body, either before, during, or after the mental processing part of something. And obviously that's not doable for every like job or undertaking, but I think it can be really powerful. It's one of the reasons I love performing comedy. And I think like if you have something that you're trying to work out, like a random open mic night, even if it's like poetry or music or whatever your thing is, like that being in the physical body in front of other people, it makes you very aware of your body, but you can't do anything about it. You have to like do your poem or whatever you have to do. So finding a way to integrate the physical into that cognition space, even if it's just solo, like going on a walk and then writing, like I think that those two things can really work well together.
Yeah, I agree, because we also have Mars, you know, Mars is very happy in Scorpio. And I think that that can still lean into malefic energy because it's still, you know, Mars doing what it does, Mars Marsing. But I think that there is that like opportunity for breakthrough or whatever, whatever it is, where it's whether it's with your own idea, your own thoughts or whatever. And I think that kind of like, what are you scared of? If this is a thing, if we're willing to kind of sit with stuff and go like, oh, let me go on a walk about this feeling, because I'm feeling this feels bigger than this one interaction that we're having. What do we get to?
Dude, I just closed. I had a bunch of tabs open, so I was closing them. And I don't know if you guys have been seeing, but Britney Spears gave a People interview and excerpts of her memoir are, which will be out on the day after this episode comes out, the second day of Scorpio season on the 24th. But I just closed the tab and dude, she had an abortion with Justin Timberlake in 2000 because he did not want to be a dad. Oh my, like, anyway, sorry. That
I
feels just
that.
All the things we just, I like went and closed. I was like, fuck, I have a million tabs open. I went to close. I was like, okay, Scorpio season's already very
off to the races.
And also setting the record straight, I think, comes back to the Mars Mercury thing. Like, you guys thought all this shit about me, blah, blah, blah. And like, it's here's my truth. Here's the truth. And wow. Well, so Brett, can't wait to read. Ready for the book club. Let's read the memoir. I'm ready to go.
Hilarious too, because I've been seeing obviously on TikTok all of the millennial algorithm like NSYNC reunion stuff.
Oh my god. Yeah, they're cranking it. Yeah.
I'm like, they think it seems like they think they're Beyoncé Taylor level.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this doesn't, I've seen it and I,
yeah,
like, bring me the Spice Girls.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Well, it doesn't do it for me. I'm sure people are excited.
I'm sure people will go and people are excited, but it is.
It just
it is
doesn't
like,
hit in the same way, at least for me. And the same too. Like, I mean, this also, Madonna just started her stadium tour and people are like, it's kind of biting all the girlies we saw this past summer. So like the astrology's real. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen that much of it, but like, there seems to be some bitten things. And now, of course, Madonna's the OG from before them. Like, I'm talking about Beyonce and Taylor. But, you know, Beyonce and Taylor are like, we're in our movie era, girl. You've, like, missed the stadium. Yeah. It was summer when we were supposed to do this.
It's like, this wasn't the hole that needed filling. What we need, actually, is someone to step in and go, like, this is what it looks like to be at this eight, like, here's where I am at this part of my career. And that might be still doing a celebration tour, but it's like, totally. we don't have a lack of like divas or whatever, you know. Yeah. I can't think of a better broad term to do this, but it's like, yeah, there's also, I saw the Taylor movie this past weekend, and
how was it? People are loving it.
It's really fun. I thought it was really cool. And I'm very excited for the Beyonce one as well, because I think it does really give you a sense of being at the show. The sound was incredible. Can't the way wait. That they did it too. Like, it just really, yeah. And I mean, I was also loving little kids dancing and recording, you know, recording themselves in the screens with their friends and stuff, which normally I would hate in a movie, but in this one I'm like, go off, queens.
Yeah,
like,
we are at the concert. Yes. At the movie. Well, yes, Madonna also, I forgot about this, missed opportunity because she had a whole biopic lined up with Julia Garner, supposed to play her, who I love Julia mm-hmm. Garner. She looks like Madonna. I felt like she could have lined that up with this concert tour era and then maybe gone out 2024, and we would have been like reminded, refreshed, mm-hmm. pumped, because Madonna is of a different era where Beyonce and Taylor are very much still the contemporaries yeah. of music. Anyways,
well, this is like the marketing real. People pushing, like, mm-hmm. the time is now to do this, you have to do this now, or
there's
whatever.
And Madonna wanted to direct, was the main hold up, and like, you. Someone should have, you know, this is what happens yeah. when it's like.
But this is also what's happened, not to make this a Madonna podcast, but this is a Madonna problem historically of yeah. of her.
It's a Leo problem. Well, it's a Leo yes. problem.
I'm like, this is her getting in her own way, so to speak. Of
it's
this,
a Kim
of like,
and it's a Kim Cattrall problem, which is a Leo problem. It's a, no, you know.
Hey.
We can talk about where Leos stop themselves because, you know, it's the checks and balances. And that's why Virgos. And this is Virgo Sagittarius, uh-huh. the mutable girlies are getting their bag right now. And Madonna mm-hmm. still will. What am I fucking yeah,
of course.
About? But
of course she will. And go to the concert. And I hope it's great. I hope people have a great time and yeah. all of it. But, you know,
it's just in terms of the culture of yes. the moment, it feels a little missed. And I think there's yes. some astrology to explain that as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to our free episodes of What's Your Sign? Since you're into us, we'd love if you'd support us. Help support What's Your Sign by going to patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast.
For about the same price of buying us a cup of coffee that we split three ways, your financial support helps us create this podcast, and supporting us on Patreon will get you bonus episodes, access to our Discord, and other great perks.
Plus, you will truly have a sense of pride knowing that you have directly contributed to making this podcast possible. If What's Your Sign has improved your life, it's taught you something, it's added value, then please consider joining us on Patreon. Even though this is a ton of fun to do, it doesn't mean it's not work. And your contribution really helps make that work possible. We love making this show and we want to keep doing it as much and as often as possible. And we can't do that without your help. Help keep us indie and help keep us putting out the episodes you look forward to every Monday.
If now is not the right time to join, no sweat. There's other ways to support us. Follow us on social media at What's Your Sign Podcast on Instagram. Make sure to turn our post notifications on. Check us out on Twitter at What's YR Sign _pod. And yeah, we're on TikTok at What's Your Sign Podcast. The link to join our Patreon and all the links to our social media accounts are in the show notes. Thank you so much for your support. We'll see you over on our Patreon.
A diamond has long been a symbol of commitment, love, and trust. Isn't it time the diamond industry showed us the same values behind the scenes? Clean Origin is leading the engagement ring industry toward a brighter future, designing elegant lab-grown diamond fine jewelry that never compromises our values. A brand that doesn't just talk the talk, but one that was founded to make a difference, to offer a more environmentally friendly, conflict-free, and price-accessible choice without any compromises on quality.
Lab diamonds are grown in a lab using cutting-edge technology that replicates the process of natural diamonds. A lab-grown diamond is chemically, physically, and visually identical to a mined diamond without the adverse effects of traditional diamond mining. And for a price of up to 10 times less, we don't know why you'd choose anything else.
You know, I'm a Sag. I'm always going to say bigger is better. And with these prices, 3 carats is the new 1 carat, baby. Go big. Honestly, 5 carats is the new 3 carats if you really want to go there.
You all know that we know a thing or two about engagement rings. And these Clean Origin rings are simply stunning, classic designs, and for a fraction of the price. From the color of your metal to the center stone and setting, you'll be able to customize every aspect of this very important lifetime piece of jewelry. whether you're looking for an engagement ring or tennis bracelet or diamond stud earrings, Clean Origin has beautiful diamond jewelry that you'll be wearing forever.
You can use code What's Your Sign for $100 off all orders over $1,000. That's $100 off all orders over $1,000.
Go to cleanorigin.com and use our code What's Your Sign at checkout for $100 off of your order of $1,000 or more.
Use our promo code What's Your Sign, all spelled out. Check out Clean Origin today.
On the 31st of October, we have a Venus trine to Uranus, Venus in Virgo at 21 degrees and 36 minutes, trine Uranus in Taurus at 21 degrees, 36 minutes. I like this too, because we're out of this. I mean, Leo, speaking of Leo Venus has been, you know, the talk of the town for a while. And we had that square Venus Uranus square. And I think getting some, you know, flowing Venusian Uranian energy is a nice change of pace, especially within this conversation of kind of transformation and rebrand and all of that kind of stuff. This feels like a time when you're able to kind of figure something out in that respect, or in a maybe better, bigger, more like socially conscious way of, you know, strike resolutions of, you know, people coming to.
Getting the coin, getting what you deserve. Yeah, it's nice for Halloween. It's like encourages the weird, except it's in Earth, so it's not that weird. Like it's like it's a mellow weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind. My thing has the wrong info, but the Mercury Mars are still kind of close together, just 2 degrees apart by that day as well. So that influence is going to be kind of lingering. So of course, you know, if you didn't get your workout and cognitive energy out 2 days, 3 days ago, here's kind of your last chance to do it.
On the 2nd of November, we get a sun opposition to Jupiter at 10 degrees of Scorpio and Taurus, respectively. Again, kind of reiterating this same eclipse energy. I feel like it really like sets the tone for what are like the tenor of these oppositions are. Sorry, that was a very strong T. I don't know. Again, like, am I blowing this out of proportion? Feels like a question that we're going to be asking ourselves, or like, how important is this to me? If it feels important, let's dig a step. If it's important enough for you to like make a thing of it, let's take a step back, maybe dig deeper and see what else is happening. Where is this coming from? Whatever, because I think that allows us to make, again, a very Scorpio kind of concept, and I would be like strategy and precision. I think exacting is another word that Lisa used that is a appropriate one. And it's like, you're not trying to like, just, we're not just swinging our arms at anything. We're trying to make decisive moves. And that comes from going, ooh, okay, this is bringing up big stuff. How do I handle?
Exacting too is the low side energy is like, you know, forcing your will on someone, or like being, you know, I think we see those like meme traits of Scorpio of like manipulation and those kind of things. It's like, oh, I need my, it has to be exactly this. So I think that's something to watch out for, overinflating, over identifying with either thing. Neptune and Venus are also in opposition, 2 degree orb. So not exactly, just remembering your values and those things. Cause I think it is, again, like those two things in conversation, one of them wants to be really solid. Venus wants to like know what it is, and Neptune wants to like obscure and not. So I think in going through those things, let's be mindful if we're like dissociating on purpose because we don't want to think about where this leads, or, you know, what does it mean that this person treats me this way? It's like, well, like, actually, sometimes we do have to look at that. And also sometimes only thinking about what it means, like, doesn't help you develop a friendship. Like, it doesn't help you share of yourself or or listen or just be together or whatever the thing is. So having both of those things in the background.
It's never ending. And I think that I'm glad that you brought this up. It is exact on the November 3rd at 25 degrees Venus opposite Neptune. And we've had, this is another kind of like thematic transit that we have felt, or the energies definitely that we've been feeling since Neptune moves so slowly. And then followed by that on the 4th, we get Saturn stationing direct. And I feel like this Venus Neptune opposition to me is that, like, well, when we start, when you start like asserting boundaries in a new way, or you start, I'm going to come back to this one because it feels like the most cohesive like example to use, when you start wearing a new outfit or whatever, a new style, you've done a rebrand, like you see something and you go like, oh, but I want, oh, I like that. Maybe I like this thing. Maybe I don't want to be this person or whatever, but you kind of have to stick to the choice that you made and then navigate those feelings that come from that. So I think, like you said, Lisa, of like the, you, it could be an endless cycle of what ifs, or did I do this or whatever, you can do that. But is that where you want to use your energy instead? Do we want to, like, I don't know, build something fresh? And I think that Saturn stationing direct at 0 degrees Pisces on the 4th is that, like, okay, here's our like new foundation kind of thing. It's not new. It's old because Saturn has been retrograding back over these, but now it's like, okay, we're going forward again. And how do we want to redo this a little bit better?
Mm-hmm. Robert Hans, Planets in Transit, said about, I think it applies to all of it, but with the sun opposite Jupiter, just be wearing self-righteousness too. I think the opposition of Venus and Neptune, there feels like a beware the like get rich quick scheme, or like the MLM or like snake oil. I just have like a little discernment. And I think Saturn going direct following that is like, what do you mean I can get, you know, this sale thing quickly? Like, what are the cases? Show me the receipts. Like, let's actually have like a more Saturned look at maybe what's been spewing out these days before.
That same day we have a Mercury opposite Uranus, the day that Saturn stations direct on the 4th. Why did I write that? 21 degrees, 26 minutes of Scorpio and Taurus, respectively. Again, I think just that kind of like, we just had that trine there. We've been having all of these oppositions, and this is like the, no, I'm like sticking with the change. I'm not going to like back down or go with the, whatever the suggestion, like feels very like unsolicited advice potential or something like that.
Well, I think what's interesting with it too, is that with the eclipses just leaving this axis, and sometimes like in the past, you know, say the Gemini Sag one, we like haven't had outer planet stuff sticking around in those signs. So it's like some of that stuff kind of lingering, and maybe it's not the exact same, you know, like issue from the eclipses necessarily, but I'm just thinking about how sometimes, you know, like I'll go eat Indian food and I'll be like, oh, this reminds me of like a cheese that is like from my culture or whatever. This reminds me of like it's like a flavoring or a thing, a spice or a texture, where you're like, oh, they must like make it the same way in my culture or whatever. And then it's like just that kind of like, it is a new experience, it is something different, but like finding yourself or finding those themes that you've just explored for 2 years in those things, and kind of being like, oh yeah, because we still have like, you know, almost a whole year, no, half of a year of Jupiter and Taurus, and like more Uranus stuff coming too. So it's like, we're not like done with those projects yet. So
yeah. Yeah. I like that too, as a reminder to also like, it's funny because I just said unsolicited advice, but I think it is also a little bit to like get out of yourself some, maybe too, and to maybe see the other side of the perspective, not to let it change you, but to let it open up your like, I don't know, yeah, to be able to find connection in other things as well.
Yeah, there's, I think the like Mercury and Uranus to me feel like a change or new approach of information too. So if it feels like you've been yelling at a wall, maybe stop yelling at that wall. Like maybe the wall maybe it's just a distraction for you. I don't know. I think Scorpio and Taurus are really good at getting back to what we talked about earlier, is like these root things. And it's like, why are you yelling at the wall, babe? Is it easier because you want to yell at this person or that person or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. So I think all these like Mercury opposition-y things definitely ask for some new style of processing or communicating,
mm-hmm.
which might not even be doing any. Sometimes Mercury, you know, Mercury is decisive. So it could be also be just like, I'm going to wait, you know, like until it's the right time.
This also feels like a very like listening transit mm-hmm. of it's like hearing this out instead of, and I think that that's a very like Scorpio Mercury absorbing the information, taking it in, not necessarily disclosing, and not necessarily in a nefarious way, but just in a like, well, what is the other side saying? Not both sides have something valid or whatever, mm-hmm. but it is like, okay, well, it would, again, strategically, it would behoove you to know what the other side has or whatever.
Totally.
On the 6th of November, we get a Venus trine to Pluto at 28 degrees of Virgo and Capricorn, respectively. That same day, we get a Mercury trine to Neptune, which I think is like, I don't know. That's not, it seems intense for both of them, but also I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something like, it feels inherently, even though I know Pluto's at play, like positive, like this earthy Virgo, which will have a change of that in the very shortly in coming days. But it feels like this last kiss to Virgo Venus that maybe Virgo needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before Venus comes home to.
Yeah. It was like, because Libra. It is kind of like a farewell. Something mm-hmm. as we get to Venus moving into Libra on the 8th of November, which I think is another, you know, I got excited seeing that, thinking about everything that's going on. If that's like something that I think having Mars in Scorpio and Venus in Libra, having these kind of domiciled mm-hmm. planets again can be full force, but also seems, I don't know, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're good there. I think too, like the state of the financial world has been a 2023 topic. And so maybe for a lot of folks, this is where we're getting some recalibration of how we want to wrap out the end of the year and also enter into next year too. It feels like it's the time to like take stock of what's coming in and what's going out, which is very Libran.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we take for granted stuff in its domicile too, because I think we folk, not like us as astrologers, but people, like when things are going well, it's, you're not like, oh yeah, I'm really confident in my identity today, or like, you know, like mm-hmm. that just doesn't happen. You're like, oh, I'm having a problem with my big toe or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think harnessing that stuff and being mindful of like, hey, we have Mars in Scorpio. Like, let's do some Mars ass shit. Like, we have Venus in Libra. Let's do some Libra ass, like Venus shit, you know?
Yes.
And then getting to that point where you're like, dang, I did get my favorite outfit during that season. Like, I love that. That's so exciting. Instead of like, finally found a coat that fits. Next thing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I think it's confirmation too for anyone like starting projects or relationships that like, you know, electing wise, like these are happy here. Like this is like a good, yeah, there's, it's like an all systems go. I think if there has been that fence, like on the fence feeling, there's like, I think a lot of confirmation with both Venus and Mars right now to like go for it.
Well, it feels also like coming to a kind of measured decision about things too, or something like that, where it's like, if we've been doing the kind of uncovering work, we've been doing this investigative stuff, it feels like we can be making, I don't know, more value-based choices that are going to like go well. I don't know, again, maybe this is just when thinking too much about outfits or whatever. Well, but that thing of going like, oh, I think that you could make some choices that are really based on what is important to you, what you are feeling now, and have it go well.
Mm-hmm. If you all have never, if you're doing elections for anything that you're launching or projects. If you've never looked at the Cafe Astrology Best Days electional timeline, I really, really love it. I had to use it for a friend of mine asked me for some help. It's funny that you say that, Stevie, because that's the weekend that I actually, or the Monday, I think I told them to launch.
Astrology's real.
Yeah, but the Best Days, what's it called? Best Days of the Month on Cafe Astrology. And you can like go by month or through the whole year. But one of the things is that it actually breaks it down of like for different reasons, kind of like for business success versus like being inspired versus sex right. and romance versus. So if you've never looked at that, I do recommend taking a peek. I mean, you can look at November to kind of, or October if you want to start mm-hmm. here, but yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the astrology podcast on their monthly forecast has the auspicious days.
Yeah.
Well, I think they give you more on the Patreon.
He also has I think it's like $50, which I will be buying next year, but a breakdown of for the year for of the best days, the election, the auspicious elections for the year. But those are really, really, really detailed. And I think his for this month was the 3rd of November, if I remember correctly.
Mm. Okay.
But hopefully I didn't just like give away info I paid for. but that's okay. And I hope if he hears this, he knows
it's a free yeah. ad. Yeah.
No, but his thing isn't free. That's what I'm saying. I hope I didn't just like say something that you're supposed to need to know.
Well,
anyway, I apologize.
Make sure to tag him in the comments for this episode.
Make sure to buy it next year. And also, you didn't get to read the whole little thing of why.
Yeah, absolutely. On the same day that Venus moves into Libra, we also get a Mercury sextile to Pluto. Mercury at 28 degrees and 6 minutes of Scorpio, Pluto at 28 degrees and 6 minutes of Capricorn. Again, I feel like that just is like the comfort feels confirming of making a change, of doing something differently, or finding something that fits this kind of new brand.
Yeah, it feels like an exit as well, because we have an ingress the next day.
The next day on the November 9th, we get Mercury moving into Sagittarius, which to me, I like to coming on the heels of this like Libra, where it's like, oh, well, if I got this to kind of like work, mm-hmm. what else can I do? How can I think? How can I blow this out bigger? How can I, you know, whatever, the strategy worked. Where else might this work in my life? How can I expand this to make this now like a philosophy as opposed to a one-time, mm-hmm. you know, action-oriented thing?
Yeah, it feels like the beginning of Scorpio season is like discerning, and like the end with the switch with Mercury and Sag feels like then welcoming back and maybe some new or experimenting into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Then anything at zero is going to make an aspect to Saturn as well. So just keeping mm-hmm. that in mind, it should be Mercury Sag. That would be a square, right?
Yeah. On the 10th, we get it's exact at 7:07 a.m. on the 10th, Mercury square Saturn, which I like immediately for Mercury and Sag. It feels very appropriate to like immediately get into an argument.
Right. Like, immediately being checked was like, what's your source?
Which is, I think, good. Again, it's like before getting too ahead of yourself, remember that we are still trying to like build stuff. We're not trying to go so far out of where mm-hmm. we've just come from. We just got here. Let's not, you know, go nuts. But also like, yeah, let's, I think squares again are like action oriented, are productive, and are things where we like make things happen. So it also feels like making progress, making headway, even though it is a square and might be tense. That is kind of how we get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the 11th, we have a Mars opposite Uranus. At that same degree, just about Mars at 21 degrees and 8 minutes of Scorpio, opposite Uranus at 21 degrees and 8 minutes of Taurus. Again, right after, I feel it's like right after you make a kind of decision, right after we establish a boundary, there comes this other side, or there comes this idea of like, do I want to change course? Do I want to mix it up? And you absolutely can, or you hear out what the other side kind of has to say. What's the alternative? Mm-hmm. And then we proceed from there and see what happens.
Feels very slow down. see it all, get it all. I think, yeah, I think with Uranus involved, like there can be, I think the change usually comes to you. So it's like, you don't need to push much for like the impulse or like just almost like be open and aware and you'll see it for yourself.
I think there is something that like gets presented maybe too, where mm-hmm. it's like, you have kind of laid out all of the things and you've maybe even subconsciously made your decision. And then someone's like, oh, actually I can get you this other thing for like the same price. And you're like, oh no, I had just like started to decide. And then you have to like, okay,
some
like,
pivoting.
Maybe mm-hmm. I do want this other thing. And you know, then maybe I didn't want that one thing originally after all.
Mm-hmm. But again, I think we have that like in the background, that Venus in Libra, hopefully helping us to like center center balance and our values and all of that too. But yeah, on the 13th of November, we get a new moon in Scorpio, which of course we will again discuss in depth in our Patreon episode. Join us over there for new moon and full moon bonus episodes every month and much more. But this is happening at 20 degrees of Scorpio in 44 minutes. New moons happen, of course, when the sun and moon are at the exact same degree of the same sign. And that same day we get a sun opposite Uranus in that same 21 mm-hmm. degree. So again, I think that is like, oh, let's how we have that new information. Do you want to make the alternative thing, or do you want to like hold on to your, it's giving game show to me of like, mm-hmm. are you going to stay? Are you going to bet, try to double or nothing? Or are you going to keep what's in your case now? What game show am I talking about? I don't know. It's all 17 of them, like a Rat King game show.
I'm deep into Celebrity Family Feud, and it's, I mean, ooh. I'm Steve Harvey's an icon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And first lunation post eclipses, so kind of mm-hmm. a big deal. This is where we do welcome back in maybe a little more pointed manifesting wishes, spells, etc. I mean, some people go wild and do it during eclipses. It's usually, told like maybe skip. So I think too, now that we've made it through the eclipses, and it might even just be, especially with opposition to Uranus, like, oh my God, I was trying to manifest all that shit I didn't even care about now. Like, mm-hmm. I like whole new person alert. So maybe also where we want to get more specific, maybe a little more quality than quantity of wishes. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, I think it's Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like, we wasted the good surprise on him.
Oh yes.
That's very like, I accidentally manifested during the eclipse with my favorite, like mm-hmm. my favorite spiritual object, or my favorite like candle, or whatever ritualized insert here.
So funny.
Yes. On the 15th of November, we get a Mercury sextile to Venus at 7 degrees. Mercury at 7 degrees and 53 minutes of Sagittarius, sextile Venus at 7 Cute. Degrees and 53 minutes of Libra. Yeah, again, feels nice. Maybe that's
it's a Wednesday. That it's like good community. That it feels just all communication feels like thumbs up.
It feels to me, and this is Libra season talking, it feels like a self-esteem boosting compliment that can like take you there. You know, sextiles, I think, are harmonious. They're not, you're not going to feel it if you're not like looking for it necessarily, if you're not like going mm-hmm. for it. So if you do have something that day, I think that, like you said, it is a good day to plan a communication. I think that's like, or a meeting or a conversation or a hangout or something like that. That feels like a nice date day.
Totally.
I mean, depending on your sign. But I like that energy, but it also feels like just like a, having a nice interaction with someone to kind of maybe reaffirm this rebrand, going like, oh, it's working. This is the thing that I wanted to have. This is how I wanted to be in the world. This is the interactions that I wanted to have. This feels like some good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, if my brain went to like having like an art showing, it feels like you'll get like mm-hmm. good remarks versus like, I mean, it's Mars still in Scorpio, so maybe there will still be some worthy, I don't know, it feels like a good critique day. Like if you want good notes on something you're working on that you want to like implement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even a good taking this further idea kind of or whatever, like, oh, here's the next thing again, because we do still have Mercury and Sag. Still, it just went there. We have Mercury and Sag, so big big picture, big ideas.
I feel like Mercury zips through Sag, though. I feel like it gets to Capricorn. I don't know when, but I remember looking at the calendar being like, the fuck? Like,
we don't get there, but within a matter of days, we're like almost halfway through, over halfway through. So we are,
Sometimes Mercury be fast AF.
Fast is fast. On the 17th of November, we have a busy day. First, we have a Mars trine to Neptune at 24 degrees of Scorpio and 59 minutes trine Neptune at 24 degrees and 59 minutes of Pisces. Later on in that day, that happens at 12:36 a.m. At 6:52 a.m., we get the Sun also trining Neptune at that same degree, Sun at 24 degrees, 59 minutes of Scorpio, trine Neptune at 24 degrees, 59 minutes of Pisces. And then as we leave that day, the Sun will move from to 25 degrees and 37 minutes of Scorpio, where it will conjunct Mars at that same degree at 9:42 p.m. I like that as like, I mean, making ideas real, or making you know, I don't know, something where it's like, this was a thing I imagined and now we're taking action around it.
Feels good. Release date game. Like, you know, like Friday, I'm like, what movies are coming out? Like, it feels like the pre-Thanksgiving sort of I guess the new Hunger Games. Okay, not what I was thinking, but I'm like what else is coming out?
That migration movie looks cute. That might be Christmas though.
Yeah, I don't know that one, but maybe for those listening, I think this feels like, I don't know, I like the energy of this day. It feels really like positive and watery and just like, I don't know, there's something like romantic and psychedelic about all these coming together.
It feels like you have a dream and then you like the dream, like a literal dream. And then you're like, oh, this person was in my dream, or like, I had a dream I was going to be here. I thought I'd been here in a past life kind of thing. And now I'm on this street or whatever.
That movie looks good too. The new Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah, that dream one.
In Everybody's Dreams.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't heard of this one. I just saw the Wonka trailer and was frightened. But, you know.
Unfortunately.
That might be coming out around this time too. But I also, I think that it's just Sun Mars, you know, like, acting your identity and acting, I don't know, kind of like, I guess like going back to what I was talking about at the beginning, like acting who you are, not like just letting yourself, no matter how hard it is or how, like, I feel like, you know, for me, like, oh, I hate asking to join somebody's stupid swim lane. It's like the worst thing, but it's like, oh, how bad do you want this? How like, you know, and what's the worst of two evils for this, like, very small, like, little ask, you know, like, don't you really want to get in the pool? Just do it. Like, it's being yourself, be like, get doing who you are.
It's very like, life is for the living to me, that like, go do it, whatever you're gonna do, do it with vigor and gusto, and, you know, watch for over identification, ego kind of stuff too coming in. You know, I think that that's definitely a possibility. You know, I think that we have some we're sweeties, so, you know, we're thinking of this in a nice way, but that does also feel like an intense, you know, people might be running hot on a, you know, Sun Mars conjunction day. And especially like, this also gives in that same kind of like dream realm thing of like, you know, when you have a dream that a partner cheats on you and you get in a fight because you're like, well, you hurt me in my dreams.
kind of thing.
So like, you know, watch for that. But I like this day.
Yeah, I do too. It's cool.
November 20th, we get this again, kind of signature sign off. Sun at 28 degrees and 17 minutes of Scorpio will sextile Pluto at 28 degrees and 17 minutes of Capricorn at 1:26 p.m. The same day, we're going to get a Mercury trine to Chiron, Mercury at 16 degrees of Sagittarius. Again, hear how fast that moved. We're already halfway through in what?
Yeah.
10 days. Mercury at 16 degrees and 2 minutes of Sagittarius trine Chiron at 16 degrees and 2 minutes of Aries at 7:08 p.m. I like that as kind of a, changing beliefs about ourselves, growing, seeing what's possible in a kind of like future, or even if it's just identifying a wound that we have or something that might have been influencing our self perception, and kind of having that sun sextile to Pluto going like, oh, if I have this different kind of interaction with someone, what does that mean about this belief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like, I think that just feels like a nice encouragement to like, I mean, it's never as easy as this, right? In like therapy, but it's like an old story might feel old mm-hmm. at this point, and maybe not really our much defining factor of like who we are as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe this isn't a thing that actually holds me back the way that I thought it did.
It's crazy when things actually stop bothering you. Yeah. It's like, wait, that yes. was part of my thing that I like talked about and relied on and it was part of my identity. And I think Chiron does ask us to like release some of those pains as our personality.
Absolutely. And right after that, oh, go ahead.
How powerful it is to just say, you know, once you say, I don't really like that code or whatever mm-hmm. on me, I don't really like it anymore. How powerful that is into releasing
mm-hmm.
like a Marie Kondo type of cleaning, like,
yeah,
oh, this doesn't spark joy. Like how mm-hmm. much that could be to clearing in not, you know, coats and, you know, mm-hmm. internal stuff
in both, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that absolutely fits because on the next day, the 21st, we get a Mars sextile to Pluto at that same degree, the kind of leaving the farewell Pluto sextile. Mm-hmm. I think again that kind of like, oh, I identified this thing and now I can take action from this different place. Again, it's a sextile, it's only gonna like work if you work it, so to speak. But I like that as again kind of a nice ending to all yeah. of the Mars moving through Scorpio, trine opposition, kind of dance through Scorpio season. This feels very appropriate. Again, Scorpio also like the two modern and traditional rulers of Scorpio too, kind of like sending us out. And,
yeah.
And the like, yeah, this is the closing ceremony kind of energy where it's like, what did you learn? What did you transform? What's different? How are you different from the beginning of this? And are you still afraid of the same things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Mars got to work out this Scorpio season, home in Scorpio. I think the sun did as well. So there's a lot of vitality, drive, who we are, getting some big check-ins, especially from Pluto. So I love this for the wrap up of Scorpio season.
And then we end on November 22nd. The sun moves into Sagittarius at 6:02 a.m. And that's a wrap, folks.
That's life.
What day are you birthing on?
Right.
I know.
Just kidding.
We'll see.
Yeah, we wouldn't it be place funny your bets.
To make the pregnant woman place her own bet. Right. No. You have to.
Will it be a Scorpio? Will it be a Sag?
Your body.
I know. We'll see.
Not your mind. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, wait, what was the due date? The 19th?
The due date is the 18th.
So now we don't really
we're
have
right
any
around here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're in none of the
major aspects on that day in particular, but I like that.
The 18th, I don't like the Moon-Pluto conjunction on the 18th. That's the thing.
Mm,
and it's brief. I looked at it. I looked
don't
at it again.
Don't you have that? Oh, no, you
no, I've yeah. No, I have a Mercury-Pluto. So I'm like,
Mercury,
it's not
Pluto. Oh, Venus, Uranus, yeah.
It's not unfamiliar.
Damn, that the whole zone that week is that like Mars, Sun.
But yeah,
it could be
like
the week before. It could be 2 weeks.
Dude,
after.
It could be like today. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it literally could. But no. But
Julia,
it also
you're having
good
on pod birth.
I know.
My
one
God,
of our, one of our Discorders had their dream about it, and I was like, that actually would be. I would love. I do feel like that's, I know so many, not so many, but I know people who are like performers and that's the, you know, on stage or whatever, where I'm like, if my water broke on pod, that'd be tight.
Dude.
I mean, I hope it doesn't, because I'm looking at an unfinished nursery. That's the thing I keep saying, where I'm like, once there's a crib, I can go into labor at any moment and I do not give a shit. But
before, it's like when you know you're close to home, so like you have to, like, diarrhea. Julia, it's like there.
Yes, exactly.
Julia, if you got on pod, if your water broke right now, I think Stevie and I would find you a crib. Like,
I know that.
We'll take care of you.
I know that.
And let's just hope it breaks towards the end of the episode.
Yes, exactly.
No, just for convenience sake.
I feel like I probably wouldn't say anything until the end, and I'd be like, guys,
guess
Julia,
you have 12 after your water breaks, you have 12 hours to get to
Julia.
That's a long
yeah,
time.
But like the pod.
I would wrap the pod. Capricorn Moon, we're finishing the ep. It's getting in the can, okay?
Dude, it'd be sick if you just stood up and your like pants are all like wet. Yeah,
I would be like, guys, you are not gonna believe what just happened.
See you next week, stands up. Like,
No, I'll be sure. If it happens on pod, I'll tell you right away. I promise. But yeah, that's Scorpio season.
That's Scorp. Cool. Well, on to Sag after that.
I know.
In the blink of an eye. And yeah, and then there'll be a new member of the crew sometime in this time period.
We'll see. When's it going to be?
Dot, dot, dot. But I'm into the Scorpio season. It feels like so necessary after Libra. And I'm digging it.
Yeah.
Go with the flow in the watery sense.
Yeah, it's still water. It's fixed, but it is that like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we don't say that enough for Scorpio stuff, but it's true. Well,
true.
Thank you. Happy, scary, spooky season.
Yes.
We love you. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Your Sign? Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love this podcast, please support us. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. The link to support us is in the show notes.
Follow us on Instagram at whatsyoursignpodcast, on Twitter at @whatsyrsign_pod, and TikTok at @whatsyoursignpodcast. For business opportunities, advertising, or commission readings, email us whatsyoursignpodcast@gmail.com.
WIS is produced by Julia Loken, Stevie Anderson, and Lisa Chenu. Artwork by Alexa Vicious and theme song by Honor Nezzo.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.